Greetings and salutations from the Agile Revolution. This is Tony.
Renee's here.
And this is Craig, and nothing like putting someone on the spot, pointing them to go, you're doing the intro, dude.
And man, he just sort of looked like a Martian and sort of floated around.
It's not me.
It was jazz hands.
Jazz hands. Greetings, Earthlings.
As a side note for people who are listening, it feels like it's been a bloody long time since I've done a podcast.
Well, I mean, you know, people on the team have been jet-setting around the countryside. I mean, Tony jet-sets to Melbourne. Renee jet-sets to somewhere in the middle of Europe somewhere.
Where have you been jet-setting?
I've been jet-setting to nowhere.
That's a bit of a role reversal there.
I know. Craig's usually the one jet-setting around.
Yeah, the next month or so is going to be a little hectic, though. So, guys, what's happening in the universe? So, we'll catch up on what you guys learnt at in Austria and at BA Universe or BA
World Conference,
whatever it was.
That was the one.
We'll talk about that a little later. But hit the news. You guys got anything?
I've been out of contact of news for a very long time.
All right,
Renee, I'm expecting better from you.
Well, I've got a couple of things.
Because I know he's got some of the ones that I would have talked about.
So on the last podcast that Renee deleted, which is a long running joke on the podcast now, we were talking about Atlassian and their FedEx days, and when we recorded that ill-fated podcast, Atlassian came out saying we want to rename FedEx days and hadn't come up with a name. Well, they've come up with a new name. Have we all seen it?
Craig,
ship it.
Craig, can I just understand something first? Did Renee delete the podcast?
She blames the $2 part, but...
Okay. I just want to confirm that.
I'd just like to say that 95% of the problems are not the people, but the system.
And here we do put people over processes and tools, and that's quite clearly why we're blaming you, Renee. <the tool.
laughs> So, FedEx, hey? Tell me all about it.
Yeah, it's going to be swiftly on. So if you've been on another planet and you've never read about Atlassian's FedEx days, go read Dan Pink's Drive, because he talks about that. And if you don't want to read the book, go watch the 10-minute RSA animated video or his TED Talk. But Atlassian has been doing FedEx Day since 2005, and it's been one of those names. It's kind of like, you know, sometimes you set something up inside an organisation and you give it a cool name, and FedEx Days was a really cool name, which has been fine, but
the concept is basically deliver in a day, right?
That's right, yeah. Something that absolutely, positively has to be shipped overnight. Mm. And pretty much the guys there, when they do a FedEx Day, they do it every quarter or so at Atlassian. Atlassian's an Australian company, Jira, Confluence, Bamboo, Greenhopper, those tools. Main bases in Australia and San Francisco. And every quarter they get together and they do these FedEx days. And I've actually had the privilege of actually seeing one of them in action at Atlassian. I was at one of their awards nights, and pretty much they down tools about lunchtime the day before. They go for 24 hours. Some of them don't even go home because they're so passionate about, you know, innovating something. Lots of beer and pizza gets consumed, and you know, good time had by all people. And then they get together at the end of the 24 hours, and they have to demo the.
But there was this rosy story, and then something happened. A cloud occurred.
A big cloud.
Well, the thing was is that they were doing these things internally. They'd done about 19 of them. In the last 6 or 12 months, they've decided to start packaging up some of their agile approaches, or just some of their techniques to share with other people, and FedEx was one of them. They put a lot of stuff out on the web so that people could run their own. They ran a competition so that people could get their own FedEx. And pretty much the thing was is that an organisation became aware of it and said no longer, and that company was no other than FedEx themselves, the parcel.
I think that said organisation should A, get sense of humour, B, get with it, and get on the bandwagon.
Well,
you think they'd be happy?
Like,
you think they would have been happy to have their name out there, free advertising, seriously,
and associated with innovation? But they chose not to.
Obviously not.
It is what it is. I agree. It's. I can see it on both hands. I can see that some marketing executive was searching the web and went, what the heck is this? Some 2-bit, you know, software company doesn't know them from black or white, infringing on the name. And I guess you have to look at it that what happens if at some point in the future Atlassian
goes
south,
or
it gets associated with the wrong types of things. I can see why the lawyers and things want to get into it. And from what all the reports say, and we only know what we're told, it wasn't as if they came forward with their IP lawyers and told them to get off our lawn. They just said nicely,
very politely. Yeah.
Can you go do something else? So they had a competition, ran a whole bunch of things. There was a whole bunch of really cool names. Things like Eureka Day, which is the one that I think...
I love that one, yeah.
...that we were talking about. Tadpole Day. Tadpole Day
I
meaning...
I didn't get the first one until you explained it to me. So they... So UPS Day, which obviously is quite funny because UPS is the major competitor to FedEx.
FedEx, yes.
But it actually stood for...
Unencumbered Programming Sprint Day.
Yeah, so I just love that. I thought that was so cute. There was
the Jack Bauer Challenge.
Oh, yeah, 24 hours.
Yes.
Yeah,
I like that. Lots of other names came out, but they decided to go the boring route and choose ship it.
Yeah.
Look, we've done... I mean, I've ran FedEx like days. I've never actually never really called them FedEx days. I always kind of stayed away from that name because I always thought it was Atlassian-based. I've always called them hackathons or developer days or those type of things. But they're a really good concept. And if you want to know more about them, then I strongly suggest you go and check out the Atlassian website. They give you
all
the
tools. Have you always shipped something at the end of it?
Well, even Atlassian don't ship... any of the end of it by shipping something, and this is where I think the name is a little bit incorrect, is they demo something at the end of it.
Right.
So,
because that was the first thing I thought, how often do people on FedEx, ex FedEx days, actually ship something? And I wouldn't have thought it was.
Could you ship something? Well, theoretically, yes. But the ones I went to, a lot of them were
projects, a lot of innovation prototypes.
Yeah, projects that did eventually make it into... So if you've ever used Jira before, the JQL, which is the little language you can use now to write queries inside the issue part of the system, that came from a FedEx day, for example.
Well, we made one of our own, remember, for our own intranet site.
Yeah, so... Yeah, they,
which eventually...
Did ship. Eventually got there.
I mean, I like the concept of taking a day out to focus on something important. And to me, it doesn't necessarily have to be around a product that's existing. It can be on new product innovation, but it also can be something as simple as, you know, spending a day to have a look at the way in which you're being transparent as a team, or the way in which you're gathering metrics as a team. You know, there's many different things that it could play. It's just taking the time that you need to get the outcomes you want.
And I've even done it with teams where, you know, where you've got a proportion of people that just, you know, do their job and that's all they do. And part of it was just getting them to see that there was something else, that to go and write an application for a mobile phone actually isn't that different to the, you know, the Java applications they've been writing for 20 years. So it gets people a little bit out of their comfort zone. It's 24 hours. You still break them into small iterations. You have a bit of fun. I said, you know, always put on a pizza and things like that for, you know, and amazes me all the times I've ever run it. I've always done it in a big room. I've just brought, you know, computers in, dumped them on the floor, dumped cables on the floor. I give them an iteration zero. They go and they set everything up, you know, give them, you know, increments to go and deliver things in. Don't tell them they've got to use cards or any of those kind of things. They just end up using those anyways, a planning process. And you get to the end of it and they come to you and they go, why can't we do this every day? And my answer back to them is, well, why can't you do this every day?
Yeah. Think about how much time you spend in meetings in comparison.
That's right. So, anyway, it's now called a Ship It Day, so don't call it FedEx anymore. I'm sure we're probably now going to get filtered by the FedEx police, but I'm going to stop saying FedEx so we don't get told off for saying FedEx.
Ship It.
That really ships it for me.
Someone had to do it.
The first thing I thought of when I'm thinking, oh, no.
All right. On the series of tools, I suppose you've all heard the news right now that Microsoft has snapped up Yammer.
Yep.
That was a good product.
and the reason I mention Yammer is not so much that it's an agile tool per se, but really good tool if you haven't gone and looked at it, at least at the moment. If you haven't looked at it for enterprise or internal team collaboration.
Yes, really social learning. It was a great tool for that and for the enablement of it. I mean, for those unfamiliar with Yammer, it's like a company-based Facebook.
Yeah, so like cross between a Facebook and a Twitter, really.
Yeah.
And certainly they've been building in new features into the tool set over the last couple of years. They won the TechCrunch 50, I think, probably in 2009, 2008 or something. It's been quite a few years. They're kind of a very innovative product, and it was only a matter of time before someone came along and snapped them up. My hope is that Microsoft doesn't, you know, fiddle around with it. I mean, they've got Skype and they've got this now, but it probably tends to point to the fact there's going to be some sort of SharePoint integration mm-hmm. with it at some point.
Yeah.
What did they pay? They paid $1.2 billion for it.
That's change. Just change for Bill.
Yeah, so
Bill wasn't there anymore.
You only think he's not there. Bill is everywhere.
Yeah, interestingly, Yammer's not the only person that's doing tools like this. Like, Salesforce has has tooling in their space. IBM has tooling in their space.
They've been the major competitor, right, to Yammer. So I guess, I read the release from Yammer. They seem to be reasonably excited about it because it supposedly gives them the heft and the weight to take on Salesforce and so on. So.
Did you notice that you can't post Twitter posts into LinkedIn anymore, that they've done the change?
There was a digest email from them, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's no longer the case.
What was the intent behind
it? Security was what they said.
No, I think it's more that that LinkedIn are trying to own their own network.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Mm. I thought it was interesting because I very rarely cross-post from Twitter into LinkedIn. I basically only ever do it for blogs because my LinkedIn group isn't necessarily the same as my Twitter group. And it just makes it easy for me. It's a single thing that I need to post in. Now I need to post into two things. And now all friends need to do that as well. You can do it in
you can go the other way.
To Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah, so if you... I don't
like having to be forced to use something that is not my preferred tool for communication.
You non-conformist.
You can still use tools like Hootsuite, I believe. I haven't really used that for this kind of thing before, but to cross-pollinate to multiple social networks. I think the nice thing about LinkedIn was that you could set it, you could put the hash in on the end of it, and you could post something through. But anyway, not entirely agile story, these ones, but...
Posterous is still the same. You can post to all three in one go.
But the reason I bring up Yammer is that if you haven't used it, it is still worth looking at that or a tool like that. But it's interesting to see that tools like that now are taking big money. And I have spoken to some of the guys at Yammer. They say they don't do agile internally, but a lot of their processes are agile-like. So there are a lot of those type of companies where essentially they've had to use agile-like processes just to survive.
Yeah, sometimes because with these companies, it's an evolutionary thing, and they just don't have a name for the
exactly. We need to release more frequently. Let's do this.
I mean, look at Apple. They never use the word agile ever.
Yeah.
You read.
Does Microsoft?
And you read how they. Anyway, you read the books and you read about how it works, and they're using those concepts. Microsoft, really?
They've got some agile groups.
They do. I was being facetious.
I don't know if they officially call it agile.
They do officially call it agile, and I've actually visited their headquarters here when we were assessing it for a project, and they actually are doing agile. They use Team Foundation programming, all that stuff.
In the last few years, they have come along, and there are a couple of there's a few people that are quite well known in the agile community now that actually work over at Microsoft.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, I was just being facetious.
I know.
It's the I guess if you're a Linux person like me, it just sort of sticks in there.
Anywho, let's move on.
Let's move on. You were focusing on me?
Yeah, have you got an article?
Yeah, I got an article for you. It's called 10 Agile Bloggers You Should Know About But Don't.
Yes, I had this one.
From Mr. Mark Mansour.
Mark Mansour, Agile Bench, talking about tools.
How are you, Mark?
Hello, Mark. Our favourite Australian Agile tool vendor other than Atlassian.
Cha-ching. That's a bit of publicity there for you, old mate. Anyway, he came up with a pretty good list, or an interesting list, so I thought I'd
throw it.
So his number one was
just to set this. When he wrote this list, he was if you remember a few podcasts ago we talked about the influential people in Agile.
Yep.
And he wrote this list saying these are the people that you probably should read that haven't written a book, or people that you may not have heard of before, or people that are notable that aren't around because of writing books or being on the speaking circuit.
10 is incredibly restrictive.
It is.
Okay. I think he was just setting a
pick the number
top 10.
Yeah.
Go.
So this first was All About Agile, which is Kelly Waters.
Hmm. Good site, that.
Yeah, and I like Kelly Waters' stuff. He's been writing about Agile since 2007, has a great collection of articles, is the little synopsis. Okay. Yeah.
Pretty much if you want a good wrap-up of what's happening in the Agile community, that's a good place to go. Yeah. A lot of syndicated content.
And I think his Watershed article there that pops up quite a bit is that, and Mark mentions that here's 10 key principles of Agile, which he steps through, the Agile Manifesto principles.
Yep.
So that's pretty good. Number two, Leading Answers by Mike Griffiths.
Yes.
It focuses on leadership and agile project management ideas.
So I hit that site almost all the time because he's the one site that talks about things like parking lot diagrams, those type of things, and actually has templates for them as well. So he has a lot of really good stuff on his site, particularly a lot of visualization type things. Some of it a little old, but if you're trying to find some of that stuff, that's a really good place to go.
And I think you turned me on to that one as well. And I think the thing about that...
I don't want to know about how Craig turned you on.
Oh, look, we're not going to go with the pants thing this time, all right?
The pants is old.
Renee, next time, wear them. Anyway, as we...
The pants have moved.
Yeah, anyway.
Skirts don't count, but anyway.
They do in our world. Anyway, well, I think what we're saying is yes.
Please move on, please move on.
Craig put me onto that one, and I think the good thing about it is it's not just suited to project managers starting out on the early journey. It's got really good resources there for all types of project managers. Yeah.
Yeah. Number three.
Notes from a Tool User.
Yes, Mark Leveson from Canada.
Correct. He writes, he's been focusing lately on the role of the Scrum Master.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, he actually follow. He hasn't been all that active of late.
No.
He's a bit active in Twitter, though.
It's all archives.
Ah.
But yes, his last lot of posts were all about Scrum Master. But even some of his stuff back in the history is worth having a read. It's not stuff that's dated, so you can go right a fair way back into his archives, and it's still quite interesting stuff to read.
So this one is someone we know well, Agile Scout.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure that
never heard of him.
Never heard of him. No, him at all. No.
Renee?
I've heard of him once or twice, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
No, we love Agile Scout.
Yeah, big shout out to Peter Saddington, for those that don't know. Their articles are quirky, fun and loud. The loud ones have been Renee's. Prolific in his writings about Agile and Agile industries, lots of interesting things to say, and it's going to be of interest to you. So there you go. Yeah? And I was always alluding to, perhaps Renee may have appeared on there at some stage.
Oh, I've done one article and there's been a couple written about some of the content that I've written as well on the blog.
There you go. Mm.
Probably the one that most people remember of his was the top 100 Agile blogs.
Agile blogs.
He gets a lot of hits on that one.
Yep.
Excellent. Number five, moving on, Brains Link. Now, I have to admit, I hadn't seen that till I saw this. Have you seen it? Brains Link, blog written by Vin D'Amico about enterprise Agile and its use in software development and business operations.
Okay.
Regular posts is a topic for those in the enterprise space. Reserve comment, because I only just started reading it, but it's probably worth going and have a look.
Absolutely.
And obviously none of us have heard of it, so that's good. Okay, The Critical Path, which is by Derek Huther. I hope I got these names right. He's an author, blogger, and zombie project manager.
Yeah, that was what got my attention to that particular thing. Anyone calls him a zombie project manager has my vote.
Yeah, they get kudos from me. Yeah. His work is focused on enterprise Agile and experienced project managers new to Agile. According to Mark, he writes with a nice tone, so I think you'll like it.
Mm.
Again, I haven't seen it before. I don't know the guy. Anything from you?
No.
No, so I might reserve a comment on that until I get to it, but worth going and have a look, people.
Mm.
Number seven, software project management. And this is a good one. I think this is said Powell Brodzinski.
Powell,
there you go, Brodzinski. And he's a busy guy running his software project management blog, answering a bazillion questions on Stack Exchange. He's definitely exploring Kanban at the moment. He also writes on broader Agile-related issues.
Yeah, so I met him overseas, lovely bloke.
I have heard of him before because I've seen him on Stack Overflow before, but I've never actually read his blog. Right?
No, I've come across him in the community and in places, but don't read his blog religiously. But every time I've come across him, he's always had something interesting and worthwhile to read.
Yeah, we'll just have to be part of the international jet set Venice.
That's right. Yeah.
Champagne set before we can meet.
If you don't go to Europe, you're not really anything anymore. Yeah,
you're just not there. Right. Apparently, not wearing your pants is big in Europe anyway. Tyler Blaine.
You're on your own, Tony. I'm not backing you up anymore. The look from Renee right now, if looks get killed, you'd be dead 10 times over.
Well, somebody's got to be the comedy element. Tyner Blaine. So this is by Scott Selhorst and focuses on product management in an agile world. Again, not one I've had anything to do with.
No.
Yeah. So if you're a product owner or you're just interested in how product management works, you should read some of Tyne's posts. Unfortunately, his posts are a bit rare.
Oh, okay.
So go and have a look. Test obsessed.
Ah, yes. My good friend Elizabeth Hendrickson.
Yeah. And truly some great work on there. Mm-hmm. I find her articles and commentary very insightful and usually has something that rings a bell for
me. I'd go as far to say she's probably the most famous agile personality to have not written a book.
Yeah.
She's actually writing a book now, I believe. She's actually got one in.
And so she should, given the body of things that you've read on her site that she's put out. And whenever you get a chance to see her, she's pretty good as well, right?
Yeah, very nice lady.
Yeah. Okay, number 10, Better Projects.
Craig Brown.
Good friend of all of us.
Yep.
Craig Brown. He was down at the World Business Analyst Conference. I didn't get a chance to hook up with him. He was actually at the same time as I was, unfortunately. So, but when he's not putting on the last conference with Ed Wong, he's writing on project leadership, requirements management, and product design over at Better Projects.
That's good
sign. For the top 10.
Good
there
stuff.
We go.
All right. Any quotes for the week, guys?
All yours, Craig.
So I got a couple that just popped up. One was from our good friend Flowchain Sensei. Would you expect a jockey to make a great racing car driver? Would you expect a project manager to make a great scrum master or agile coach? Interesting. That's one I had to read a couple of times to...
Yeah, I mean, you get the analogy. Obviously, a jockey is on a horse, a racing horse. And the horse is not exactly a racing car. And
facts brought to you by Renee.
Oh, I have a cold, by the way, so my brain's not working very well.
Yes, indeed. A jockey rides a horse and a race driver drives a car. Are they the same thing?
Anyway, moving on.
Different skill sets, basically. A great racing car driver has a different skill set.
But they both race.
Right, same thing. Both doing projects, but good project manager does not make a good scrum master. And this one from a name I'm not going to try and pronounce, but says, don't ask for permission, experiment. The process is yours. People who cannot change their process complain. And that was from Ace Conf, and our founder was the source of that quote.
That's good. I like it.
All right. Time to have a bit of a chat about our exploits around the world, so let's not venture too far away from home and talk to Tony about BA Universe. Yeah,
let's leave that jet-setting thing till later, right? Sure. Let's get down to the
world. Yeah, so what's the sum up from... So BA World, where was it?
It was at Melbourne in the Crown Casino Function Room.
Fancy.
And also travels around other parts of the countryside.
Correct,
right?
Yeah. So he was slated for Sydney and Perth this year. I was invited to both, but only selected the one. Good variety of people there. I did manage to step into a couple, but I'm not going to name some of these because I'm going to say right now a couple of them were really bad.
Would you mean presentations?
A couple of the presentations. And for me, I really didn't enjoy them because I had to stifle myself from jumping up and saying, no!
So are you hinting at the fact that some of the presentations were a bit big design up front, a bit old school in their requirements, their solicitation and change?
So somebody said, here's a quote from one of them that said to one of the supposed agile experts, which had a room full of newbies who were all sitting there sucking it in, quite rightly so, obviously, because they thought they were getting some good stuff. And this particular presenter was asked the question, what if you've got a big compliance product project? You know, how would you tackle the requirement stage of that and delivering it in agile? This just promptly rolled off straight away and said, oh, you'd have to do all of the requirements waterfall and then deliver it in an agile mode.
I want to get up and throttle you right now.
So you can imagine my compadre was with me, he grabbed on and said, no, even though I was going, no, don't say anything, because it was just like, whoa.
So what type of, for the people that were giving that, the old school advice, what sort of organisations were they from? So I know not to go and apply for...
Yeah, interestingly. So here's my critique of the BA stuff BA World Presentation stuff in general. I think the conference was really good, and it did have some really good keynote speakers and some good industry professionals like Craig Brown and so on, you know.
Mm.
And I know his stuff is always good.
Mm.
And it had some stuff on the Babok. But for me, a lot of it was about companies who sell training or had something to sell, and they had people there doing their presentations more from the point of view of saying,
hey,
this is our product and this is how good we are, and you should come to us. We're telling you how it should be done. Mm. So there was a large portion of those, and I think that's something that they really need to weed out for next season. So I probably just shot myself in the toe a little bit. But look, the industry professional ones that they had there were really, really good, I thought.
What are the attendees? Did you get a sense from where the attendees were coming from?
So essentially the attendees came from a very large sample of companies. So I found that there were a lot of right from manufacturing through to services companies through to delivery companies, chemical companies. So you know, kudos to them. They pulled a very big, large spread of
market
of audience. Yeah. My impression of it is, if they market this thing right and keep working through it, and they just weed out some of that promotional type stuff. And I also based that on some of the commentary that was provided to me by some of the people that spoke to us afterwards, saying, hey, this is great to get somebody who's not here to sell something, just telling us how it is in their world and how it got put together.
I think we sometimes forget that in the Agile community, because when, for the most part, most of the conferences I've ever been to or attended aren't about that. They're all about the community sharing, and it's less about the thing you're trying to sell, because most people are practitioners. And even the few, you know, there are the notable exceptions, but even when you do get some of the big vendors, they're still actually trying, for the most part, to still share some knowledge with you, even though they might sting you at the end with the, come to us, and, you know, we could mention some big vendors in that range. But for the most part, everyone is still trying to share in that space, whereas I think we forget, you know, a lot of the other large conferences around the place are still, they're run for particular reasons. And I'm not suggesting BA World is in there, but a lot of conferences are run just for, you know, these top companies to sell their product.
And I know for a bit of think that that's BA World's intention, right? Because they had some really good people there. I just think that there was a number that were accepted in there that were on that platform.
So a better weeding out and shepherding process.
I think it's just tightening that process up and saying, you know, what are you guys really doing here? So
I've got two questions for you.
Uh-oh.
One, what were you trying to sell?
I wasn't trying to sell anything. I was actually
just trying to sell your pants, Renee.
We were invited to come along and drop a presentation because they were looking for some industry professionals. And so our talk was basically on Agile and Lean meet, date and integrate.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just talking about the state of Agile within our world where we work, how we're looking at integrating some of that Lean process, take Agile to the next step, my thoughts on that.
Okay.
And how we move to the next level.
So, second question I have is, did you feel by the people that were there and the topics that they covered, does it suggest to you, because we spend a lot of time in the Agile community, talking to Agile people, and I guess this is a community that's outside of that. Did you feel that Agile hasn't crossed a chasm?
So what I would say to you, the overwhelming learning that I got out of the whole thing was that there are a lot of companies that have switched on to Agile. And this was the commentary. Like after we finished the session, we spoke to a lot of people. We were there for about half hour just talking to respondents that were actually, you know, participants who were out in the course. It was quite amazing. And then there was a drink session later and spoke to a lot more. And for a lot of them, they're all looking to start or in the throes of starting their Agile journeys, Agile and Lean journeys.
So the answer is yes, it's finally
crossed the chasm. So my answer is that yes, it's crossed the chasm.
But it's not embedded. And that's not a mentality shift yet.
Correct. And the other thing is, I think that the overwhelming thing that I got from a number of them, that they came back to us and said, wow, that's the link that we're missing, is that they're not looking that embedded into culture. You know, we talk about that between us.
Just pick up a bunch of practices and hope for the best type thing?
Yeah, so we've been down that track, right? We've seen that where we tried. They've either tried one or two things. They've either started it in small pockets and they've got the practices and things going, or they don't have that buy-in. And I think that was the overwhelming commentary was, wow, that's what we need. We need that buy-in that you guys have got.
So, yeah. So I've got a question. Was there anything that you saw, agile or not, but anything in the BA community where you kind of went, wow, that's something that I hadn't seen before, or that's something new, or is there anything interesting happening in the BA community? Because I don't know, that's one area I don't get a lot into.
I think for me the interesting thing in the BA community is that they're actually coming together as a BA community now. Like, and I say this because you obviously know my previous past was a BA, and
yet we still like you.
I know that's strange, isn't it? But you know, you were a developer. Anyway.
For those who couldn't figure that out, Tony was making a helicopter sound and was running around the room like a helicopter.
Anyways, yes. No, I think back when I was doing that gig, there wasn't a lot of opportunity for the community to come together, share that cross-pollination of ideas, share the issues and the angsts and the learnings. And to see this happening was pretty special, I think. In terms of, is there anything new out there that I'm seeing? Only the switch on to understanding how to be an agile BA as opposed to the old process of BA work, and understanding there's something else out there different.
So what were the keynotes trying to... What was their message?
I didn't see two of the keynotes, but I saw one of the keynotes, and one of their main messages was about flexibility and understanding that if you're going to work in the new world... It is a new world now, and the days of the 975 business documents are gone. You need to understand how to flex and move. You need to understand the role of the BA in the agile world.
And I tend to think that the role of the BA has almost shifted again in the lean startup community. So, you know, as soon as these people start to get a grapple on their role change when they get into agile, I think it suddenly shifts again. And people just need to get used to this change. I think, you know, even once they get used to agile, once they get used to lean startup, it will change again.
Yeah.
I think the hard thing about a BA role is that there is a lot of agile organisations who don't value the role of a business analyst.
I agree.
There's lots of them that don't see a need. And to be honest with you, in a lot of cases, I also see that's actually a perfectly valid point. I sometimes think the role of the business analyst is not perfectly well understood because organisations that have them tend to probably overutilise them and push them probably to areas that maybe they shouldn't have, and I've also seen areas where they're underutilised.
There's no such role officially in Scrum.
That's right.
Yeah.
But, well, I mean, in Scrum there's just the team, right? The development team. And you bring skills to the fore, and business analyst brings that ability to synthesise.
Yeah, I think in the very early days that assumption was that means you just got a team of developers and don't have any BAs and don't have any testers and...
I think that is an interesting point, because I think that is the other thing that I probably gleaned there and I didn't realise until you were speaking about it, is that as a business analyst, I've been called a lot of different names.
We call a lot of different names too.
I was going to say. It's not the ones you call. Yeah.
Too many years in breakfast radio, dude.
And you know what? You can't speak of it. But, you know, business analysts have been called functional analysts, solution analysts, business analysts.
Enterprise analysts,
yeah. But it's the recognition now that the business analyst is actually a true role.
Yeah, I still think... It's got a way to go, but it's still a function, regardless, that someone has to do.
And it's a bit like testing. It's one of those roles that testers are the people that understand testing very well. But testing is a function of the whole team. It's the same thing. Business analysts, right? It's not just up to them to elicit requirements. Everybody in the team is responsible for eliciting requirements. It's just these guys know that skill and can help the team focus on what they need to focus on.
Yeah. I agree with you. And I think people like Shane Hasty and those guys who are working on the BABOK, and I can never remember what that actually stands for.
The BA Body of Knowledge.
Body of Knowledge, that's the one.
It's part of the IIBA.
Yeah, exactly. See, acronyms left, right, center. Please, people. But essentially, they're helping to define that community. Yeah.
Cool. All right, so that was kind of interesting, but probably even more interesting is...
Anyway, Craig, what were you doing yesterday?
Well, actually, yeah, I had a great... Thanks for asking, Tony. Renee, you've... So to us, To us, to travel to Melbourne, which is a couple of thousand kilometres away, is usually a big journey, but Renee decided to settle her bags together and jet set halfway across the other side of the hemisphere to... Where did you go?
I went to Austria.
Austria, which is not Australia, missing a couple of letters, right?
No, in fact, it's quite funny. In a lot of the tourism shops in Austria, they have a shirt with a kangaroo on it, and it says, no kangaroos here.
Oh, cool.
Very nice. But firstly, where was our card? Craig?
I'm waiting for my shirt to come in the mail.
Anyway, so, yay, I went to Austria.
See, Renee goes to Austria, forgets about us. So she's here like, oh, what's happening in the Agile community? I don't really know what's going on. The rest of us here have been slaving away. Things have been going on the podcast channel. Yep, she just waltzes up and goes, well, I've got 20 minutes to tell you about what happened in Austria. Tell us about Austria.
Like my dad said, wipe like a dirty bum. Anyway, keep going.
So I might forget I'll pass over the fun elements of me actually having a holiday as well. Because you probably don't want to talk about that.
No, we don't.
No, go check out your Flickr or whatever it is to see that stuff.
Yeah, you all look on Facebook for drunken photos of Renee.
I was the only person that didn't get drunk. So I attended the session called KL Rat.
which I love the acronym for, just because it smells a bit.
Kanban Leadership Retreat, and I think the AT stands for Austria.
Okay. So what's the purpose?
So the purpose of it is a session of 50 community and practitioner members of the Lean Kanban group.
Mm-hmm.
It was not an open invitation, so I was fortunate enough to actually receive an invitation. In general, the invitations went out to the email list of people that have attended the, I guess, like the expert Kanban training courses that David Anderson runs, which I haven't attended, but I was still fortunate enough to still get the invite. That's a group of 300 people that sent that, so 50 people attended from the session. I think it will certainly happen again next year, and it will certainly be similarly limited in numbers and in who it potentially gets sent out to.
Good size, 50, isn't it? Like you can.
It's a great size. Yeah, that's why I'm saying it's probably going to be 50 again next year.
Wisdom of the crowd, but
it's a great
wisdom of the crowd. You know, but also not too many people that you can't remember their names.
So there were a number of people that attended that are in the Lean Kanban University firm list. So those who provide official accredited Kanban training, but also there was a number of community members. So people who are practitioners. People who are thought leaders. It was just a really well-balanced and well-rounded group of incredibly smart and thoughtful people. I felt very humbled to be there.
Awesome. Well, obviously the Agile Revolution podcast has elevated you to a status to be invited to such things, but what did they talk about?
I'm humbled too.
So it was an unconference. The agenda going in was unknown. It was 2.5 days, so the night before it sort of kicked off, we got together, had dinner, met everyone, and then started planning what we'd be doing for the next day. The sessions themselves started at 9 o'clock in the morning, went through to midday. We had a 6-hour break where we got to do fun in the Alps, and then from 6 o'clock at night through to 9 o'clock at night, we had more sessions, and then we had a planning the next day and a retrospective. So pretty much every day started 9 and finished at around about 11:30, and then there was the beer o'clock, so most of us finished at 2 o'clock. And
so how did that ran? I've heard, I actually haven't been to a conference where they've had that big break in there before, but I know that's something that, you know, a few conferences have been toying around with. What did you think about having that break in the middle? Did it
I think it was a really good idea. At the venue that we were at, there were a lot of opportunities to do recreational activities, and I think that's where the value happened, because
there's lots of bike riding and things going on.
Bike ride, you could parasail, you could go hiking, you could, you know, get lost like a team did up on the mountain and not have a way back down again.
How did that bungee jump work out for you, Renee?
I did not bungee jump, no.
Was that?
Oh, you can river raft as well.
Was
so
it the pants thing or just?
You should have just asked to answer the bungee jump there, and that would have been over with.
So many different activities. I think 6 hours was probably just a little bit too long, and not because it was 6 hours, but because it meant that we went until 11 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been nice to go back to five or
that nice break where you can have a discussion, you can go do something, and then it's almost like a new day, right? So it's really a 2-day conference becomes a 4-day conference.
So I mean, most of us.
But what about what? Enough
went
about.
Off.
What did you talk about?
Talked about Kanban. Yeah.
What did you talk about?
Let's get into the guts of it.
So
we had fun,
one of
right?
the earliest
that.
Sessions was around crossing the chasm. So there was discussion that within Germany. The training groups had already reached their peak of, you know, capacity of people that have been trained, and they wanted to know how to go out into the more global community or into the bigger spending industries, companies, and how they go about that. There was quite a in-depth session of about an hour and a half that covered that. There was a lot of things that weren't Kanban related. So there was a lot of talk about people and respect and, you know, how leadership fit in, and I would say, you know, 30% was maybe Kanban, 30% agile, and 40% other things. So, you know, there was elements of right shifting, there was talks about a considerable number of models, there was Kanban that was talked about again. I think the value is that as a community that got together, we're not just singularly focused on Kanban, we were looking at anything out there that worked.
And how did that fly with the, you know, the Kanban purists? I mean, if you remember,
yeah.
20 episodes ago, and we talked about the big, you know, dust up between Kanban and Scrum. You know, I mean, there was some Scrum folks there, and there were some Kanban folks there. Was everybody playing nice in the pool?
Yeah, everyone was playing really nice, and I think there was a really healthy dose of respect. In fact, there was quite a number of discussions about what can we learn from the way in which Scrumalites did what they did as far as building up a brand and creating certification and what they did in the certification space. What lessons can we learn from that? What do we want to continue versus what don't we want to repeat? And I think that was a really valuable and adult approach to take to it. And I think David said at one stage, he considers Kanban to be like Buddhism. Buddhism doesn't say you have to follow Buddhism and nothing else. It's a very, you know, collective-based religion. And, you know, the fact that he associated Kanban with the religion is interesting in itself. But the fact that he's saying you can do Kanban and you can do Scrum. It's you can do Kanban and you can be a right shifter. It doesn't matter, because Kanban in its essence is really quite simple.
And I know we've been talking offline about, you know, the six principles and those type of things. Was there any conversation or discussion about around, you know the core of Kanban, or
So it was one discussion. I didn't get to see it posted up. I think it sort of happened as a side discussion and sort of grew, unfortunately, so I wasn't there for it. There's been a couple of posts about it. Harkin Force has done a blog post, and there's been some subsequent posts around it, but the key one that came out of it is are the Kanban practices in the right order? Of which there's historically been five practices, there's now seven. But basically the question was, which ones do you target first? And to what extent do you target them? And is there a maturity model for Kanban? And the ultimate answer that came out of that is, there is no order, and it can be shallow versus deep.
And is that then their big selling point as opposed to Scrum? Is that what they're really trying to say? Is that you can go do Scrum and be, you know, prescribed a process, or you can come and do Kanban and do what you like?
Yeah, so the selling point is around being culturally agnostic. So you don't have to change your culture to implement Kanban without a doubt.
That to me, I'm not entirely sure. I mean, just what we were talking about before, Tony, is I sometimes think that's a little presumptuous. In some respects, like, yes, you don't, the fact that you don't have to kind of upheave a lot of your process in order to make Kanban work,
yeah.
I agree with, but you still have to be in the right frame of mind to want to change, and to be able to change, that in turn implies culture.
Yeah, and I think for me, the ability for a team to become self-empowered under Kanban is actually creating a cultural change.
Cool. Okay. Any other big things?
We all managed to get a copy of David's new book, so I'm only partway through it. It's on leadership and their journey from Agile to Kanban. It's basically a number of his blog posts published, along with some extra information, you know, and a little bit of updating since then.
So the book's been a little while coming. He's been talking about it on the website for quite a while.
It doesn't look like it's too far away from being released now. I'd say it'd be about a month and a half, and when it comes out, I guess we'll talk about it again and send out a link to it. But it's interesting. A lot of the things that he's been talking about in that book, I go, oh, yeah, I've talked about that on my blog. So I have to give him kudos for talking about it 7 years prior to me. So I was really surprised that he is so incredibly focused on leadership. He's incredibly passionate about it. I think that's a great thing. I think we need a lot more work on leadership.
Are there any calls to action for the Kanban community that came out of there? Things that, like, actions for that? Because, you know, being a group of people, particularly a lot of the university folk, but also a lot of just leaders in the Kanban community, were there any takeaways where it's...
As a collective calls to action, I don't think there was anything directly. I think there was an appreciation... Yes, continue to look elsewhere for other models, and that's a good thing.
Our good friend Alistair Coburn, eh? The Oath of Non-Allegiance.
Yeah, yeah.
What can I say?
As far as Lean Kanban University actions, I think they got a lot of value out of it. There was a number of actions that they will get out of it, and actions around, in particular, how they can start to cross the chasm, really more at that executive, CEO, CIO layer. How do they get those people focused, not just on Kanban, but also on Agile as well?
So there's a great kind of wrap-up on your blog, Renee, of about 101 things that I now have to add to my reading list, or things that I already had on my reading list that I went, that probably doesn't sound important, and now you've made them more important to me to read. So.
Yep, so I'll put a link into our show notes about my blog. But in essence, I came into the session wanting to have some fundamental beliefs challenged and being open to that. And I think I succeeded in a couple of cases, you know, non-Kanban, non-Agile related. I'm really starting to reconsider some of my positions on some things. So
any top threes? Well, maybe we can maybe explore them in more detail on another podcast, but is there any...
So, you know, systemic flow mapping was the key learning out of that session. I think as a group, we're very good at creating boards for our team, but we're not very good at understanding the implication of that board upon other teams and visualising it at an organisational layer. So Ian Carroll's got a lot of work in, and I would definitely recommend spending a lot more time having a look at organisational-wide visual mapping. Number two would be around what is capability, and should we as agilists care about more global capability? And the conversation was around Scrum.
I think that's a topic I've got about half an hour of
argument. You're sidelined, but I'm just saying, you know, just as a key point.
But I think we'll have a really good in-depth discussion about that one. But
I think we should do that.
Well, I might get Lowell on, because Lowell was the person that really made me shift my mind on that, and I will continue to ponder over a lot of things that he talked to me about. But in essence, it's about, do we need to train people in everything, being capable of everything, or do we just need to focus on a couple of key principles and practices? That was the essence of it. And the third one was around, should we create walls for people? And it's not a question that I'd ever...
We should let people create walls.
Yeah, teams create walls. And I think I'd always been of the belief that we should help them kickstart it, but now I'm sort of starting to wonder that, to what extent we help them kickstart it.
I think there's a difference between people originally not even grasping the concept of visualization.
Yeah, and I think that's where the problem is in my head, is that a lot of people that I work with aren't even familiar with Agile, let alone Kanban. So a lot of the concepts are completely foreign to them, and they really just need that handhold.
There's a difference between handhold and being the head doer, you know, like doing the work for them. That doesn't help anyone. You've got to teach them.
But with that one and the one that we were talking about before about the, you know, where do we come from, it depends on what community, what organisation or what area you're in, because if you've got people that are already kind of familiar with it, you don't want to go and tell them how to suck eggs. Right? They already kind of get that. But on the same token, if people are trying to make a change and they're so far away from the goal, then you do have to change your focus a little bit, and that's where you do have to go and help them build a wall, those type of things.
Help or do?
Yes.
There's a difference.
Right.
I'm very pretty.
All right.
I have one quote for you to finish it off.
Excellent.
So, Eric Ries.
Yep.
And it just struck me as pretty good. If we're busy building something nobody wants, why are we so proud of doing it on time and on budget?
Agreed.
And on that note...
I guess that's the end of the Agile Revolution. You can contact
us. For this episode.
For this episode.
Well, although...
I've got to tell you, after all the pants reference, it could be the end of this.
So you can contact us on podcast at the Agile Revolution, or myself, Renee, at the Agile Revolution.
Or Tony at the Agile Revolution. You know, she sidestepped that whole conversation.
Or Craig at the Agile Revolution.com.
Thank you for listening.
The Agile Revolution.